Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Munch Bunch podcast. You have myself, Megan Van Noy, myofunctional therapist, my partner in crime, Kimmy Nishimoto, and one of our most anticipated guests coming on, Dr. Richard Baxter. He literally wrote the book on tongue ties. It's literally called Tongue Tied. So
there we go.
He wrote the book. He's one of the leaders in the field as far as tongue ties research. He works a ton with kids and babies. He does see adults as well. He's based out of Alabama. So Tongue Tie AL, Tongue Tied Center Alabama, is where you can find him. And Dr. Baxter's got such cool information for us today. We're going to jump around a little bit because there is so much for us to talk about. So Dr. Baxter, we would love to hear from you, kind of your background, a little brief intro of how you got into talking about tongue ties, and we'll just dive in.
Sure. So I'm a pediatric dentist. I actually grew up in Dallas, Texas, went to Nashville, went to Vanderbilt for undergrad, UAB for dental school, and then Ohio State for residency at Nationwide Children's Hospital. And then we moved back down to Alabama in 2014. And so we had our twins in Ohio in 2014. And what happened was my wife was determined to breastfeed them. So we met with a lactation consultant before we even had them. And she was like, we are going to breastfeed them. And they came out and they could not nurse. And I was like, that's weird. And so the lactation consultant said, well, they have a tongue tie. And I thought, well, you know, I'm almost a pediatric dentist. I have like 2 weeks left of residency. And I was like, you know, there's nothing there. It's not to the tip. So they're not tongue tied. And she very graciously walked me through, and her name's Jill up in Ohio. She's a lactation consultant. And she's like, no, they see right here, it's restricted. It's too tight. And so we asked a pediatrician. Pediatrician said, we don't see anything, but if your lactation consultant wants me to, we'll clip it. Didn't make a difference. She just got it halfway, basically. And then we thought, well, that was taken care of, right? So we were confused. And then several weeks later, we again went to see a dentist who used the laser, Dr. Notstein in Ohio. And that's how I got in this whole thing. And he said, you know, there's not many people doing this. If you're going down to Alabama, I don't think there's many people down there doing it. You should look into it. So I looked into everything I could possibly find, you know, which there was not that much at the time. And then started providing releases, and word of mouth spread. And yeah, we started doing a bunch of them. And then we kept getting this constant question of like, how has my provider never heard of this? My lactation consultant, my dentist, my pediatrician, my, you know, XYZ. And so that's a really good question. So I started writing a blog post about it. And which is funny, because like, I would never like write in, like, in, if my high school English teacher knew that I wrote a book, she'd probably die, right? Like, I was not like the language arts, social studies type person. I was, you know, the more math and science type person. But anyway, started writing this blog post and started like, okay, this chapter one, chapter two is getting longer, recruited some people to help out. And that's kind of how the book came about. So the book was published in 2018. We sold a bunch of copies of it, and we give it away for free on our website, tongueTieAL.com. You can get the PDF version for free under the professionals tab. And then, but yeah, it's on Amazon and Audible and all that stuff. And then I started doing some research, and then I kept getting requests for training people. So we didn't have any formal way to do that. So I sat down, started writing a script for it probably in early 2019. It took about a year, and then COVID happened, of course. So we actually had time to film the course, but the script for Tongue Tied Academy, that's our online course, took longer than the book to write. It was longer in length too. And so we got that produces 25 hours of online CE credit for ADA approved. So dental providers can get ADA approved credits. But it's basically the A to Z of tongue ties. And then we have a live course at our office now once a month. So we just had it a couple of days ago on Friday. I had four doctors, two from New York and two from Georgia that came over. So that's kind of what we're doing now. Think about some new research projects coming up, but yeah, I'm excited to be here on the podcast. And yeah, it's a privilege and an honor to be invited.
Yes, thank you. And it's so crazy because, you know, we hear stories, you know, you hear stories like yours all the time. We hear stories like yours all the time. And, you know, I've shared this a million times over because I talk nonstop about Isabel at this point in my life. But, you know, I got to experience it as a mom too, of, you know, instantly in the hospital, I was like, something's not right. You know, I'm texting, you know, Dr. Thomas, like literally after I gave birth, and I was like, there, she's tied. Like, I tried to schedule with him before she was even born, but, yeah. You know, and lactation kind of was like, well, maybe, you know, visually not so much, but like appearance, okay. And then the pediatrician blew me off. But, you know, luckily I was in the position already to know my little heart-shaped tongue baby who gagged every time she tried to eat, that it wasn't normal. So, it's crazy how we hear these stories all the time. And what's been really cool, especially with what you're doing, is you're so good about spreading information, and you're so good about like not keeping it a secret. Like, you wrote the book, you just said you give it for free online, the PDF version. Like, that access to information, I think, is one of the coolest things that you're doing right now.
It's so generous. It's so generous. And also, Megan and I have taken the Tongue Tied Academy class, actually. It was like part of our training. So we absolutely loved it. And I recommend it to all providers that are doing tongue tie releases, especially on babies and kids. It's really, really, really great. And the other thing I love about like your program too is I feel like there's a lot of issues we're running into lately about people being very expansion focused only, and yours is more like, what's the function? Like, how can we function well when you literally can't move that tie? So that's one thing I really loved about your program too. And you had so many other interesting pieces to it that other other organizations and other trainings don't go into, such as like this, the speech part of it, and the feeding and the reflux and the mom's pain as well as the baby's pain. And then all the different ages of life and how those ties affect people at different ages, because you know, a little toddler packs food in their cheeks and they projectile spit, but an adult may have reflux, or they may have digestion problems or constipation, things like that. So that's one thing I really loved about your program.
It never really just kind of changes or evolves as time goes on. That's what we tell the moms and the babies, like, you know, if the good news is you can do it now, and it also has lasting impacts, but like, you know, if it's not taken care of, it doesn't just affect the newborn period. You know, it's you get 6 months and they're starting to struggle with solids. But what's crazy with speech is you think speech is kids, but we do babies for feeding reasons, right? We did, we had one come back yesterday, a 1 month old baby. We did it a week before, said already making new sounds and babbling more, like immediately, like the same day of the release. So, I mean, it impacts speech, like in the newborns, and they're trying to move their tongue around, explore. It's super cool. And that's something I wouldn't have picked up, but it's really just listening to the parents. I mean, the parents will tell you what's going on. And that's what came up with the forms, like the assessment forms and the follow-up forms, like constipation. I would have never guessed that, but like 10 people came back and said, my kid's less constipated. What's going on? And then, so eventually I was like, okay, we need to add that to the list. And then everyone starts checking that and it gets better. Well, if they can chew their food better, right? If it starts the journey right, it'll end the journey right. Meanwhile, GI doctors, like, that doesn't make any sense. You know, like something up here, like, well, I mean, the mouth is the beginning of the GI tract, you know, like, it's not the mouth is over here and the GI tract is over here. So anyway, the constipation, as well as the swallow, right? So the strength of the swallow, that's actually the peristaltic wave that travels down your GI tract. So if you can swallow with more force, third reason is, sympathetic versus parasympathetic. So if you relax that fascia, the connective tissue, the stuff you pull off a chicken, you relax that under your neck, basically, it goes throughout your whole body, and especially the visceral fascia, like the deep layer of investing fascia, and it relaxes everything. You can like go into more rest and digest versus fight or flight mode. And so they can digest better. So it's crazy, like the body-wide effects, a lot having to do with fascia, but just in general. So,
I think one of the first things that stuck out to me that I never really thought about, which kind of is like a duh once I like knew, but stuttering was a big thing. And you, even in the Tongue Tied Academy, one of your patients was a big stutterer and went through, you showed that whole video about stuttering.
The female? Or the guy? Yeah.
The guy. The guy. I was thinking of that guy, the guy in particular. And just like, it was amazing just to see that difference. Cause sometimes people who stutter, they'll say things like, oh, it's just kind of like a nervous tick, or, you know, like nobody's ever, or I tried speech and I never, you know, like they just say it's because I'm nervous.
They have you talk like a robot or like monotone or like all these different strategies, but no one ever looks, and theirs were not obvious. So in Tongue Tied Academy, we had one dad, so we actually did his child, and then I noticed he had a bad stutter. And so I asked him, I said, like, have you ever had your tongue looked at? He's like, yeah, they looked at it, but it wasn't obvious. And so his was not to the tip. So a lot of these adults that we're seeing are not to the tip. They're maybe mm-hmm. halfway back, but for them, it's impacting them. So we had him read this, it's called the Rainbow Passage. Basically, it tests all the different sounds that are in the English language. And so we had him read it beforehand. He stuttered real bad through it. And then we had him read it immediately afterward. And Lauren, the speech therapist, was there with us. And so afterward, he started crying during the passage. And I thought he was hurting. I was like, are you okay? Is it hurting? And he said, no. I said, it's unbelievable. I said, I've been waiting my whole life just to say a sentence without stuttering. And it hits you like, oh, like a ton of bricks. I mean, it's really, it's powerful.
I actually think I cried during that part.
I did too. I got like chills and I totally cried. And like, it was crazy just to see him like feel that way, especially, you know, people, you know, they blame it on anxiety or that's just the way that I am. And, you know, and it's like, oh man, I feel like that's something that a lot of people don't know is related. So for me, I thought that was so, so cool to see, to see instantly. Like, that's what's crazy to me. Like, you would think
it's right after.
Yeah. You would even think like, okay, we need to practice a little bit, go through some speech, learn this. But it was, you know, for that guy, it was instant, which was so cool.
Yeah. We have a lot of kids that can say R better afterward or L better or new words the same day in younger kids that have speech delay. And so it's not just articulation. A lot of people think like, oh, it's just, they have trouble with, you know, tripping over words or articulation, but it's fluency, it's articulation, it's the whole speech delay, it's all those things. And then little babies that start talking, you know, or babbling more, right out like the same day, you know, it's not like months later, this is immediate changes or like crawling the next day. That's what's crazy. We had one just wrote us an email a couple of days ago. He was, I guess, army crawling. And then he went to like different crawling. I'm not sure. I'm not an OT, but he was crawling better. And then he was eating better right away. And within like 3 weeks, he actually was able to graduate from feeding therapy because he stopped choking and they weren't concerned anymore. And so we don't market it as like a replacement for therapy. We market it as like an adjunct to help therapy progress quicker and easier. So that the therapist is not, you know, banging their head while they're in, you know, feeding therapy for 8 years for someone, you know what I mean? Or speech therapy for 10 years. Like, if you're plateauing, you know, there's probably something else going on. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's so cool. Yeah. The other thing that I give you credit for it in my evaluation, so don't even worry about it. But the other thing I stole from you, I put you on there.
Change it however you want. Yeah. The forms are like Word documents, so people can change them and make them better.
Yeah. But what I do when I'm talking to, because of what you brought up earlier of, you know, why hasn't anybody told me about this? You said this in Tongue Tied Academy, you know, common doesn't equal normal. And I have like put that on my evaluation. I'm like, Dr. Richard Baxter.
You don't have to quote it. I don't even know who came up with it though. It might not have been me. Like, there's so many things just like floating around, like the shoelace example,
right?
Like, like shoelaces tied together. I use that every day almost. Like I like,
yeah, that's a good one
to, like,
too.
Jump over with my shoelaces tied together and like, yeah, you can't walk like that. Or like the arms restricted. You can't throw. Like, I can throw just fine. Like, no, like cut that. Like, okay, now you can throw a ball.
Yeah, it's just so good. And I think that really resonates with people because that's where a lot of like the public gets really frustrated is, you know, how did my kid get to 10 or how as an adult, how did I get 20, 30, 40 years and nobody's ever told me about this. So, So, and I know you're working on some research. So I think one of the big research that came out this year, I think you said, was talking about the lip ties.
Lip tie.
Will you tell us a little more about that?
So basically the AAPD guidelines, I had a chance to give some input into that a few years ago, probably 4 years ago now, when it was probably 2018, 2019, when they revised it. And I submitted 130 changes to the guidelines. They accepted 30 of them, which I was happy with. The one that I wanted that got me started on the whole thing was the lip tie thing. Cause it's so like obviously wrong. You release the tissue, it closes up like almost always. And Kotlow has been saying this for almost 50 years. So it's not like novel information, but before that, the earliest article I could find that's been cited on like wait till after braces to do the lip tie or else it will cause scar tissue and the gap won't close between the upper teeth. So a diastema, think like Michael Strahan, you know, a big gap in the teeth. But when you do it in the primary dentition, so baby teeth, you release that it closes up most of the time. Even in adult teeth, you'll close it up before the canines come in. It will very often close on its own. And so it does not cause scar tissue. So the article of Bashara 1972 is one that people cite and say, oh, it will cause scar tissue. But if you read the article, it never once, zero times mentions scar tissue. So what happens is people publish things and no one actually, the reviewers don't actually go back and look at all the citations to see if the article says what that article said it did, if that makes sense. Which is bad. And then the guidelines, they actually cited a survey of pediatric dentists, oral surgeons, orthodontists to see what their attitudes were. Like, hey, should we do the lip tie first with the frenectomy or should we just close the gap first with braces? And they were all taught in school and residency that you're supposed to close it with braces, then do the lip tie. Well, that's what they said in the article. So that's what the guidelines cited. And then, so it's just a survey, which is like expert opinion, like level five evidence. So I told him, I said, we see this every day. And he said, you know what, if you have evidence to support that, why don't you publish it? So I said, okay, I will. So I went through and we measured each patient we had that had teeth from 2015 to 2018, measured it, and the gap closed up 94.5% of the time. So almost always. I mean, we know this as pediatric dentists because like if you have a tooth pulled, you have to put a spacer in.
Right.
If you don't put a spacer, the tooth will drift forward. All the teeth want to drift towards the midline. Mm-hmm. So basically, yeah, it closes up and even in permanent teeth too. So we met a lot of resistance getting it published. We had to submit it to one journal and then they said like, oh, this is a controversial subject, rejected. Submit it again, said, oh, there's no control group, rejected. Submit it again. And so anyway, it was a big struggle. And so finally it was accepted. And we changed it here and there a little bit, just some of the wording. So we said, okay, there's no control group, that's fine. So we're not gonna say it closes up, but we can say that it doesn't form scar tissue because we had like several year follow-up on these patients. And so anyway, it closed up and it's much more cosmetic. So when they smile, you can see their teeth better. It can help. The main reason we're doing honestly is because parents couldn't brush their kids' teeth. Every time they try to brush the top teeth, especially they would
pull
back and fight and it turned brushing into a chore. And you think, how many of these kids were taken for dental rehab at the hospital, having to put them to sleep to fix their teeth, put crowns on their teeth because they can't brush their teeth. Mm-hmm. And it's trapping milk up there. Not to mention it can cause issues with getting food off a spoon, bilabial speech sounds, BP, M and W sounds. And then it can also cause, issues obviously with breastfeeding and that kind of stuff. And strangely enough, nasal breathing. So when you release the fascia under the tongue, they have like the neck tension and shoulder tensions just like disappears often. When you release the lip tie, we've heard a lot of adults say, I can breathe through my nose easier. Like it feels like they have like a great drip. Have you heard people say that, Kimmy?
Yeah. Yes. It's, I think actually what part of it is you have an energy meridian right under your lip. So I do what's called EFT tapping where you use a finger and you tap on different points on your face. There's an energy meridian right there, which I think is part of it too.
I haven't thought about that too. There's so much that we don't understand. It's like, it works. Amen. I can't exactly tell you why. I think a lot of it has to do with the fascia. Like it feels like you have like, it's called a Cottle's maneuver. If you push right here, you can like open your nose or like the breathe right strip. It feels like that, but all the time, even with minimal lip ties on adults will report that. So anyway, there's just some, that's how it is. That's what research starts. Like notice, make an observation and then see it again and then try to figure out why.
I'm curious to do mine and possibly my fiance Andy's because every time I kind of push there on him, he's like, whoa, I'm so relaxed.
It is interesting. I mean, there's minimal risk. It's like, if you want to pierce your ear, if you want to pierce your nose, like whatever, like if you want to pierce your frenum, like people do that all the time. They'll pierce the frenum under their tongue. But hey, if you want to release it and give some functional benefit, you know, people pierce their baby's ears. The pediatrician's like, oh, don't do that. You know, or circumcision, like, you know, it's probably, I think 90% of the boys, it's a high number of the boys are circumcised. That's 10 or 15 minutes. And for what minimal benefit, there's not much research supporting it. Actually, it's more just preference, which is fine. If you want to do it, do it. But this is 10 to 15 seconds. And there's for a current issue as a baby plus continuing effects down the stream. So anyway,
Yeah, it's crazy to me. Like, you know, in my family, my dad had a lip tie that, like, you know, we think maybe got taken care of by a chair from my uncle when he was little. But You know, and then one of my sisters and, you know, and both him and her both had premolars extracted, you know, obviously like this is, I was, you know, still in elementary school, so I didn't know any better. Right. And then, you know, and then now, you know, my baby had a lip tie and it caused like a bone, like a notch literally in the bone. Yeah. It was pulling so hard that she had little like 360 blisters. And within like 2 days, once her, you know, it's like, you can see these things generationally happen too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, are we going to kick the can down the road? Or are we going to try something different?
Mm-hmm.
I have two questions for you, Dr. Baxter.
Oh yeah.
One is it true for our lady listeners that if you release a lip tie that you have a slightly fuller looking lip?
Yeah, everyone's been happy. And I'm not like a cosmetic dentist. We try to do cosmetic pediatric dentistry, you know, like nice teeth, but people, it's like reverse Cupid's bow or like whatever they call it. Like it's supposed to look more full and just easier. And even like the smile, like if you smile, you can't see your teeth, but if you smile big, some people are like, oh, it looks like I got Botox or a filler or something like that. But yeah, people like the way that it looks afterwards. So yeah.
And then the other thing that I've been hearing lately is that lip ties we are suspecting are impeding the maxilla from growing. What do you know about that?
Yeah, it's possible. People say that with buccal ties as well. So like up in the upper cheeks as well, might like restrict growth. It's hard to know. I think it's certainly possible. There's a lot we don't know, but it's hard to know. I think the bigger factor with maxilla growth is if the tongue is down, resting down, if it's not resting up in the palate, like a scaffold basically for the maxilla, then if you're not getting that stimulation up there, like mine, I had, my maxilla was underdeveloped because I had a tongue tie for 30 years and didn't know it. And so I had to have jaw surgery and all these problems. It was mostly my upper jaw. It was too far back, so it didn't come forward enough. I mean, there's also certainly a genetic component too. So there's genetics, there's epigenetics, you know, like outside of genes. There's, you know, diet factors like the Jaws book or dental diet book. So there's all kinds of different factors. So try to, as best you can, look at holistically and all the stuff. But yeah, I think there's certainly some truth to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, it's that tension where it's like pulling things back, but then also the tongue's down, like nothing's working in your favor, right? Mm-hmm. And then then we're breathing through the mouth, everything's going down and
Napoleon
back.
Dynamite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So talk to us, so some of the stuff that we've been talking or seeing more about lately is like around singing and some professional singers and non-professional in the car shower singers. Like,
yeah, right. that's more me. I sing Frozen to the kids just to kind of throws them off. Actually, you know, we had several opera singers. The first time I heard it was several years ago, and I'm working on a blog post. I'll put it up in probably this next week or so on singing. But
cool.
I had a probably 6 or 7 year old little boy. He's in choir, and he came back like for his follow up. He's like, "Mom, I hit the high do in choir." So like he was like raising up several notes, I think, higher. And he was super excited because he could sing better. I noticed myself, like I could sing easier, like louder, clearer, without getting fatigued. I could talk more after I had mine done and not get fatigued. I could read books to my children easier. So again, like it's not just articulation with the speech. All the studies focus on articulation. It's so much, it's like vocal fatigue. And then interestingly, there's some myofunctional therapists. I'm not sure if you guys know them. Jessica Luffy, she does, it's like Opus OM. She does like just singers, or she does a lot of singers, professional singers. She was a classically trained singer. And then there's Diary of a Tongue-Tied Singer, Leah. We did hers. She'll tell you that. So I can tell you, not being a HIPAA violation, but, and they had a thing. It's actually on YouTube. It's called, if you type in tongue tie and singing, it was like a conference they had. Really cool. And so it's free. You can watch it on YouTube. There's 2 days to it. I watched the first day already, but I was trying to learn more about it for this blog post. And it was really interesting. I mean, it impacts it's all about like the larynx and the hyoid and how you can separate those out. And I'm probably butchering it, but basically there's a lot of things that matter with your tongue. And even if it's a little bit restricted, if you're opera singing at that high level or professional singers, we had a country music star come in that's Kimmy's patient that we saw probably about a month ago now. So we need to see how his singing is, but he's had some other benefits, Kimmy, if you want to share.
Yeah, he told me that he feels like his anxiety is very drastically decreased since his release. And even during the procedure, I don't know if you remember this or not, but he had a vagal response where he felt like his body like kind of have an energy shift. He felt a little woozy for a second.
Yeah, he was all woozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the interesting thing is ever since his release, he feels like he's able to handle things better and he feels less stress and anxiety in his life. I've had about 4 to 5 patients that have had significantly less anxiety since their release. One of them actually was able to get off medication, which I'm so jealous of.
What's crazy, because I guess they say that the fascia has memory. Right. And like holds like your emotions almost. The fascia again, like holds all your body structures together. It's like around all of your muscles, like around all your bone, like all that stuff. To be released that, it's like, whoa. Like when I did my own, it's a long story. When I did my own, I had to stop. I was like, whoa. It felt like a wave of like euphoria, almost like, whoa. I had to just like chill out for just a second, almost like maybe like a vagal response. And my assistant who was helping me, I did it in the mirror anyway. If I had it done again, I'd have like Zoggy do it and actually sleep closed. But anyway, it's a long story. But yeah, it was crazy the difference in like the neck tension and all that stuff afterward. And I'm so much more flexible now too. Have y'all heard people report that?
Yeah, that they can touch their toes
like,
better.
I could touch my toes, but I can get my whole hand on the ground now. Like it's like 5 or 6 inches more of range. One lady, a friend of ours was like doing yoga and she's like, why am I upside down now? Like, I'm like, this is not normal. Like she was like way like bending backward or something like that. So yeah, it can help a ton. We've had moms of that are PTs, for example, and like they notice their kids increase range of motion in their neck. They can check their blind spot easier, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Something really fascinating. I was just thinking about this with the flexibility. I had this lady who every time she would bend over, she felt like her spine was like a rubber band and she felt like she was going to snap when she would bend over. And after her release, she didn't have that anymore. And like a lot of her chronic pain got better because she didn't have that fascia pull. I have this really silly sort of analogy for what a tongue tie is, because your fascia is like a wetsuit over your whole body. But when you have a tongue tie, it's like you're wearing a wetsuit that's too small and you get a wedgie.
That makes sense.
So good. Yes. That's true. I love a good wedgie analogy.
No, it's so true.
I've had a couple of patients. I have one patient, actually, I'm trying to get him to come to Portland because he does a Queen cover band and he's on YouTube and I love Queen. And so he's been able to hold some of those like Freddie Mercury notes longer. He's been able to kind of like, just like his endurance and his performances have gotten better. He's in LA, so he saw Zaki. But yeah, he's reported that. I've had patients who are pain patients get off of Botox. Who would like get everywhere. TMJ. This one patient, actually, she was working up in Minnesota and like she would get everywhere, like neck, shoulders, traps, like just, she was like from here up, just full of Botox. And by the time we got through therapy and she had Sjogren's and she had a lot going on, she was 32, like young. And, you know, we got her in a munchie and her Sjogren's got better. We got her tongue tie release. And by the time it was all said and done, she was only sometimes still getting a little Botox right in her traps. But that was it by the time it was all said and done. And she would go consistently every 3 months for years. So it's just crazy, like what the, how the body responds when it's actually kind of working the way it's supposed to.
An interesting thing about the singing, going back to that. And I'm not sure if you've covered this in your research or if it's something that you are going to look into, but I used to be a singer in high school and I have always had sleep apnea even since I was a kid. My singing changed in high school, like after high school, because I had silent reflux and didn't know. And so then right around like when I was 18, my voice started to change and I would, my voice would catch like a prepubescent boy. And looking back now, I'm like, oh, it's the silent reflux causing irritating vocal cord delay. Damage.
That's definitely possible. I just found it's called the Tongue Symposium. Voice with Julia is like the information, but the Tongue Symposium. If you look at it on YouTube, And I enjoy doing adults. We don't advertise we do adults because we'd be overrun with adults. And we got to help the little babies. Like we had this little 3-day-old baby yesterday, just like a little bean. Aww. So sweet and squishy and stuff. And so adorable. But having lots of struggles with nursing, had like 15 check marks already, you know, on the symptoms on the form.
Yeah.
So lots of issues and terrible pain for mom. So we try to make sure we have enough room. We were able to work them in last minute, but we do enjoy doing adults. So if someone like wants to come see us, they have to be working with myofunctional therapists. So reach out to Megan or Kimmy or something. And we have listed some people too. And then, but yeah, it can make a huge difference for adults as well as kids and anyone in between. So.
Yeah. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I can't wait to kind of hear where this next research project goes with this singing. And
yeah, I need to look into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were some of the other research projects that you were working on?
Yeah. So back a couple of years ago, the big one we got published in Clinical Pediatrics, which is actually a pretty good pediatrician journal, was on speech, feeding, and sleep. And basically we saw in speech, so it wasn't 100% of the kids got better. They didn't all have the problem to begin with, but right. It was like 89% had improved speech afterward, mm-hmm. after one week or 1 month. And that's without therapy. And that's just like, just the procedure. And then the therapy is going to get them to like, you know, 99% of the kids, hopefully. Feeding. So solid feeding had never really been reported in the literature before 2018. We published an article on it. So feeding improvements, like less picky eating, less spitting out foods, less choking or gagging on foods, that kind of stuff. So solid feeding, because again, breastfeeding is established pretty well in the literature. Bottle feeding now with Dr. Gahari has been established, but this was solid feeding. And then sleep. And again, people like the AAO, the otolaryngologist, the ENTs, they'll say like, oh, their consensus statement, which is not a guideline, but they just got together in a room and said like, hey, what do we agree on? They said, tongue tie doesn't have anything to do with sleep. And that's totally wrong. Like ask Dr. Zaghi, you know, and all the sleep surgeon doing all the time. Mm-hmm. We see with newborn babies, they'll sleep deeper, less snoring, less restless sleeping. Kids, toddlers, you know, less snoring, less kicking mom, sleeping deeper. School age kids getting off their ADD medication because they're not sleeping well. They had poor quality sleep, which a lot of people don't realize. You know, if they have poor quality sleep, you know, their brain, basically if the tongue is held down, they'll fall back and chokes them while they're sleeping. So they're getting their tongue up on the palate with myofunctional therapy and the tongue tie release. They can get deeper sleep and then they feel more rested and they can pay attention better and they get less hyper. So our 2020 study was on that. Sleep improved 83% of the time. Speech improved 89% and solid feeding 83%. Mm-hmm. Not just short-term improvements, but then, in 2021, we did the TRQ, the tongue restriction questionnaire. So basically this was a form people could fill out on hygiene visits. So it's mainly for like hygienists, for dentists, pediatricians could use it. I mean, my mom used it. She's an allergist in Dallas. You can use it to screen patients anywhere at medical facility. Basically it's just the greatest hits of our tongue tie assessment form to see how many symptoms they have, and then have them lift the tongue, right? Because elevation is the biggest indicator. It's not protrusion or sticking the tongue out. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone lift the tongue is the best quick and dirty test.
Yeah.
So it's how high can they lift their tongue? How many symptoms they have? How much is it impacting quality of life? Is it impact greatly or not at all? Well, not at all. We're probably not going to do anything. If the patient doesn't see any benefit to it, then it's not worth putting through it. The, you know, the money, the discomfort, the, you know, it's therapy, it takes a while. But if it is significantly impacting quality of life and it's just a few things. So basically the form is just to have a conversation starter with parents. I'm a pediatric dentist, so mainly parents, but for you guys, you know, if you're in an adult GP practice doing hygiene, it would be for you and the patient. And people can test themselves with it as well and see like, okay, hey, I have like 15 check marks on here. Like, you know, there's probably something going on. So yeah.
And that's not including all the awareness, the body awareness part, because I have all these things. I'm like, I'm seeing a lot of stuff here. Are you sure that's not affecting you?
I know.
I'm like, nope, I'm great.
And they just don't want to talk about it, which is fine. I mean, that's their choice. I had one just now, like it was pretty tight this morning. And let me think, even last week, I did tons of hygiene checks for spring break that the doctors were out. So I was doing all the dental. I normally just do about 10 tongue ties a day is what we normally do. And then the follow-ups, so I do one sedation in the morning, but I was doing all the dentistry. And so I probably saw, I don't know, 40, 50 hygiene patients and probably 15 of them had a very significant like restriction. And of those 15, maybe half of them were like, yeah, like we want a brochure. Like, we'll just like look into it. Like, we're not saying like do it today. Just like look into it. You know, this might be impacting speech or eating or whatever. And so our go-to question, if I see something tight, hey mom, any speech or eating or sleep issues? And then that they'll be like, no, he's good. I'm like, okay, they don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But if people are like, oh yeah, like, you know, what do you mean? Like his eating, he's a picky eater. Like, yeah, it could be picky. Is he picky with meat or textures? Is he a slow eater? Is he the last one to finish meals? Is it a struggle to go out? Is he in speech therapy? Is he stuttering? Is he speech delayed? And then the sleeping, is he sleep all crazy everywhere with his, you know, toss, turn in circles in the bed, coming in, waking up in the middle of the night? Because how many parents wouldn't pay, like how much money would you pay to get your child to sleep in their own bed? And often it's just because they're light sleeping. They're not getting deep sleep.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, you brought up a good question with the sedation. Oh, yeah. So obviously like little ones, they can be swaddled and it takes like 10 to 15 seconds. No big deal.
Yep.
Toddlers, it seems like that is very
dependent. No man's land.
That's a tough one. Like nobody wants to touch a 2-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, it's so key though. We have to help the 2-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like you got to get them before they develop so many bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
If you wait till 5 and they're starting kindergarten, oh my gosh, they have years of bad habits.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Totally. Yeah. So what is if they need to be sedated, what is your thoughts on that? And what are the risks of like, you know, sedation versus general anesthesia?
Sure. So we do all different routes, whatever the patient needs. And it's kind of individualized, almost always for tongue tie. We just do it in the office just under local anesthesia. So just some topical jelly. Once they're about 5 years old, if they think that they'll tolerate a pinch from injectable lidocaine, we don't say the S word, S-H-O-T. Mm-hmm. We always spell it out. So because if they hear they're getting shot, they'll, you know, run out of the room. So it's the injectable lidocaine in front of the kid. But so that's how we do 99% of them. Babies, as you said, just a little bit of numbing jelly. CO2 laser, it's about 15 seconds for the lip, about 5 or 10 seconds for the tongue. If you use a diode laser, it's basically a hot tip. It takes about a minute per area. We did that when we first started. So not all lasers are the same for those who are listening. But and I know you guys know that already. But we use a CO2 laser, which seems to be the best wavelength of coagulation or hemostasis, making it stop bleeding, as well as efficient cutting. So the CO2 wavelength using physics, that's why it's the best. But all that to say, so that allows us to do toddlers very easily in the office. So we put them to sleep for dental reasons. If a 3-year-old has 15 cavities, I can't fix that in the office. We got to take them to children's hospital. They're totally asleep under general anesthesia, which is very safe. I mean, you're more likely to get in a car accident, have something happen to you, than like under anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
It's very safe. In office sedation. Yeah. In office sedation. So I did 4 of those today. Normally I do like 1 a day. Cause it can be rough. That's where you give them some Versed, which is like a Valium. It just relaxes them. They're still awake. And then, we're backed up on sedation. So I decided I'll do some on today's my off day. So, I was like, you know what? I'll come in and do some. And 3 of them went well. 1 of them was pretty rough. It was a rodeo and trying to get a bunch of fillings done. And it was tough. So for tongue tie, it doesn't really make sense to do that because it's more expensive. You're adding additional risk. The kid's loopy and can get angry afterward. It's called angry child syndrome after Versed. You can look it up. But basically it's 10-second procedure. So like we wouldn't sedate him to do like a flu shot. You know what I mean? Or a pediatrician wouldn't sedate him to do a flu shot. So I kind of feel like that same way. Like it's 10 seconds, you know, so for 2-3-year-olds, 18-month-olds, we don't put them to sleep. We don't sedate them. We did have 1 patient last week. She was older. She's autistic. Cool. She's very nervous, but she's finally doing better at the dental office. And I talked to mom. I mean, she needs lip and tongue. She'd probably do better with sutures, honestly, because doing stretches on her would be difficult. So we are going to take her to children's. She has a couple other dental needs though. So I was like, in my mind, I could justify like, okay, there's a couple of dental needs we can do that way. We'll fix all our teeth up and do the lip and tongue. She's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
For just tongue tie, you know, we would do laser. We wouldn't be able to suture, obviously, if she's not cooperative.
Right.
So there's always these trade-offs. That's kind of the things you're thinking about. And then if it's a teenager or an adult, we would not put them to sleep. So oral surgeons, that's their MO to put kids, adults to sleep for, you know, wisdom teeth or implants and stuff like that. So we did 1 little girl. She was like 5 or 6. We did her in the office. No nitrous, no, because you don't really even need nitrous. It's so quick. And then dad, we sent to the oral surgeon to have his tongue tie released. And they put dad to sleep. And I was like, that's like a money grab. Yeah, I did not need to be asleep for that.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, then I started doing adults and took Zoggy's course. And so now, again, we have like more streamlined, where like they do the myofunctional therapy first. Mm-hmm. When the myofunctional therapist says they're ready, then they can schedule with us. So,
mm-hmm.
it seems to work better for teenagers and adults, basically. Yeah. And then the school age kids, they have a speech therapist they're working with almost always. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All the different avenues. And the pre-cooperative stage. we're hitting that pretty strong over here at my house too, but it is so important, right? Because that is kind of the conversation, is just wait. And it's like, you know, if we all had bad habits for 5 years, it doesn't matter how old we are. Like, think about how hard that is to break, right? Like, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of habit it is, if it's not healthy, like, you know. And the other thing is, what we say a lot with kids is like, you know, we can wait for expansion, but like, if we wait till they're 8, 9, 10, they're already 10 years behind in growth, or they're 8 years behind in growth, whatever that is. It's like, we want to set them up as early as we can.
And brain development. Like, you can't wait on brain.
Yeah.
You can't wait on brain a day. By the time they're age 3, it's 80% the size of an adult brain. Oof. By the time they're five, it's 90% the size of an adult brain.
Yeah.
So like, we need them early. And a lot of that brain growth and development and synaptogenesis, like connecting new memories, that happens during deep sleep. Mm-hmm. So if their body, if they're functionally choking all night on their tongue, essentially they are waking up all night, little bits all night. So they're in that light stage of sleep. They're not getting that deep, high quality sleep. That impacts brain development, you know? And I think they've looked at like, it's like 10 IQ points. Like, that's the difference between like an A student and like a B student, or A and C student, you know, good job and a not good job. And so it can impact so many things. Although, I don't know, there's lots of C students that do great, but like, you know, they get good jobs. But there's so many things that could impact. Like, again, we have survival, or we can like have them thrive, you know, like so many people, they set the bar so low for these babies, like, well, they're gaining weight and it's not hurting moms. Like, that, the bar's down here, but there's so many band-aids. They're spitting up. And so, okay, they're spitting up. Here's some reflux medicine. They're colicky. Here's some gripe water. It hurts. Here's a nipple shield, just band-aid instead of what's the root cause. And so again, we don't want them just to survive. We're trying to get them to thrive. And that's what parents want. Like, they don't want to be on the struggle bus, you know? So anyway. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been so fun to have you, Dr. Baxter. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you.
Kind of rambling, but I feel like I hopefully got some knowledge.
No, we love your passion and we love your gusto. And thank you for all that you do in our field, and for also being a champion for myofunctional therapy, because we work hand in hand. We do the therapy and then you make the magic come in. So we really appreciate you. And we appreciate your book, and also for training all these other dentists to do it and do it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Not cutting corners.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, it doesn't work. It's like, well, if it didn't work, you have to look at why. So if you cut it halfway, it won't work. Mm-hmm. If you don't do therapy with it, it won't work nearly as well. It might work a little bit. Like, right. It's like maybe like less nipple pain for mom, but like, it's not working with lactation or seeing body work. Like, you're not going to get all the changes. Mm-hmm. If there's no follow-up, if you don't see the patient back, you clip it and they leave. Like a lot of our colleagues do, unfortunately, that where they don't see them back, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And if there's no post-op exercises or stretches, then that's also, it's going to stick back together. Like, if you got your ear pierced, you didn't wear the earring. So, and then backing up a little bit, they have to have the proper diagnosis and proper assessment. So all those things, if you leave out proper diagnosis or assessment, diagnosis, the right treatment, a full release, aftercare, therapy, like all those things have to be in place to see the results. Mm-hmm. And so when people don't have a good result, you have to look at, okay, what was missing from that? It's probably 9 things.
Yeah. So, missing piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll help someone out there that's looking into this more.
Yeah. Yeah. So patients, providers, everybody can find you at tongueTieAl.com, right?
Yeah, tongueTieAl. Perfect. Who's Al? Alabama.
<It's> you. Oh, Dr. Baxter, before we go, speaking of Tongue Tied Academy, is there a provider list of people that have been trained by you?
Oh, yeah. Great question.
So we don't have like exactly a page set up for that. We probably should. We have like a map. We have a map on our website of like people taking the course, kind of. Mm-hmm. It just has a flag. It doesn't have their name on it. But we could work it. Yeah, we'll look into that.
Yeah.
It's hard because like, I got an email yesterday and someone's like, oh, someone said that they were trained by you. And then, you know, they did a terrible release or something, like didn't get it all the way. Like, what's going on? And so some people, like I said, they're trained by me. Like, I gave one lecture, they heard it at like a conference, and then they say like, I trained them. Or like, they came to the course for one day, and like, we're not watching them do releases. So like, Zoggy does, like, he'll go into your office and like work with them and they come to his office. And like, so he is doing more like, okay, this person is like a Breathe ambassador or Breathe affiliate, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
So the affiliate program is more like, okay, we can like vet these people and say they're legit. So for ours, we don't have that set up exactly like that. So I haven't seen any of these people do a release, right? They take the online course. Hopefully they have really good knowledge. Hopefully they have a good start on it. It's going to take some practice, obviously, and seeing people back and refining your technique. But that's why we don't have like a provider directory of like who we've trained.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the main reason why, but it's also a lot of work, but I can look at find something. Yeah. If people have questions about people in their area who do this, probably the easiest way they can find people in their area is on like Facebook. Honestly, there's like state specific tongue tie groups. And so you can see who in your area is good with babies or kids or whatever, and kind of crowdsourcing that. Because otherwise it's hard. They can contact us. When they email us, we'll probably just say, hey, check like the, you know, whatever area Facebook group. If we don't have someone like in LA, it'd be, you know, Dr. Zoggy, Dr. Pinto, or, in, you know, Las Vegas would be Tara Erson. You know, someone emailed us last week from Las Vegas, like, oh, Dr. Tara's there. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can, that's kind of what us as myofunctional therapists are supposed to do too. We're supposed to vet people. We're supposed to help you find them. So if you have a good therapist, they're going to help you find people too.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right, Dr. Baxter, it was so great to see you again. We got to see each other in person a couple months ago.
Yes,
but we appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge. So you can find, you know, Tongue Tied on the website. You can find it on Amazon. Such great information. You can find Kimmy and myself also, our websites. Mine's www.orofacial-myology.com. Kimmy's is mouthmusclememory.com. And, you know, find us on Instagram, find us on YouTube. We're, you know, we're everywhere. So, we are looking forward to keep working together, and we will see you all soon.
That sounds good.
See you later.
Good afternoon.